Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I knew this crab cake tour thing was a good idea. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let Yourself Play. We'll be with our mayor, Brandon Scott, on Wednesday. We will be Black Fridaying with our friends at Conrad's up in Abingdon, going back to Harford County. Got some invites out up there. And then back to Pappas on the 3rd. And I think this guy's going to join me over Pappas because he likes crab cakes. I'm not sure if he likes me. Leonard Raskin, Raskin Global, joining us here along with Mike Rosenfeld. You know, this is unusual. I've been mixing and matching clients, like, in person.
It's good
stuff.
Now,
I used to do holiday parties, opening day, ball games. Hey, Mike, Leonard, you want to get in a car? Well, I'll go to the Caps game. We'll go to a tournament. I don't do any of that anymore. So doing, like, honest-to-God live stuff here at Nick's was kind of the dream of the Crab Cake Tour. And I've been telling you about the Crab Cake Tour before anybody realized what it was. So Now you got to have a crab cake today and enjoy it. And Leonard, you and I have been talking about this forever. I'm glad you're out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're going to get two in the first month because we're going to Pappas as well. But we're at Nick's Grandstand Grill. We're in Timonium. First time here for both of you, be honest.
Yes.
I needed someone to point to how to get up here.
I had to hunt the place down. I pulled into the fairgrounds. I'm thinking, okay, he said it's at the off-track betting. I pull in. I'm looking for signs. There's a sign. I go park. All right, so I'm parked. Now I'm going, okay, where's the restaurant? I walk in. I see the off-track betting thing. It says restaurant that way. I go up the steps.
Hell of a place here.
I go up the steps, and I said to the guy, where's Nick's? He goes, right there. I said, oh, my God, it would have bit me.
Yeah, same thing.
I mean, I've been to... is this the same as the Knicks that was down at the downtown?
That you just met Tommy.
Okay.
So Tommy's father was Nick.
Okay.
And that's Cross Street in the Market where we used to drink before games, right?
Yeah, yeah,
Mike remembers some of it.
For sure.
Some of it.
I remember that I was there.
You remember remember walking in.
He remembers how big the beers were.
Right.
They were really large beers.
Potato salad, 2-quart. Potato salad.
See, Tommy made that.
I've
fresh
been there,
that.
Done that.
So, and then he had Nick's Fish House. And then in 2015 sold that.
Right.
This became available. The casino is going to be right here, what you're looking at, out on the floor. And then the OTB's over here if you're into the ponies and whatnot. We got games on, track on, stuff on.
It's magnificent.
It's happy hour, and we're happy. How are you? What's going on with the market? Friday afternoon,
great.
Market shuts, you get a fresh lemonade.
Fresh lemonade. The market was up today. It looks good. Everybody's happy when the market's up.
Friday, especially.
Especially on a Friday. Go to the weekend with a little bit of cheer. Right. I'll tell you a quick story. I have a client. I've been working with these people 25 years. Two brothers. Been working with them 25 years. And their father had a lot of investments. And back in the day, he got really worried about the market. So he took all his money, put it in cash. Put all his money in cash. And he would say to them that when the market would go up, he'd be upset because he was in cash. And when it went down, he'd be happy because he wasn't there. So he kind of had the craps. He played the do not pass line.
Right.
He was the do not pass guy.
You never feel really good, but you never feel really bad.
Right, right. He was the do not pass guy. But no, it's always good to have the market go up at the end of the week. We're hitting all-time highs. So Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, all new-time highs, which is fantastic if you're an investor. So good time to have your money in the market. Good time to be invested. And if you're retired now, you have all the faith in the world that your money's going to last forever. You still got to be careful because it does sometimes go down. So you got to be aware of that.
His philosophy is put the money in the market because if the market goes away, we're all going to hell in a handbasket anyway.
Yeah, look.
You know what I mean? If the market goes away, we're all screwed, right?
Look, we're outside of D.C. We're pretty close to D.C. I tell my clients that if it goes to zero, the only way it goes to zero is every company in the world just suddenly becomes worthless. And that only happens if these things are shooting off from China, Russia, U.S., these nuclear warheads. And then
you got
other
things to worry about?
Yeah, you got other things to think about. And I want to drive to D.C.
I won't be looking at my portfolio.
No, it won't matter. Yes. I want to drive to D.C. as fast as I can because I don't want my skin falling off slowly. I just want to see the mushroom cloud and just evaporate, you know, that's it.
I think there's
faith in the Chinese. I can see that.
There you go.
I think there's a pure aspect to it that if when things go down, you know that you're not the only one who's like uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
And as long as you're not the only one who's uncomfortable, you can ride it out. You just don't want to be that one outlier who's sucking wind and everyone else is doing
that's
well.
Right.
That's
right?
Why God
that's
gave
right.
us cheers in a bar.
Right. That's right. The thing that I tell people to think about, though, you know, the whole thing about investing is you've got to know how much your account could go down in a year. And if you know that the way you're positioned, stocks, bonds, etc., that your account could lose 20% in a year, you know that going in, then when that happens, you got to be okay with that. Because the only way you get up 20 and up 30 is to have gone down 20.
Mm-hmm.
And so as long as you know going in what the worst case is, when it happens, you're better able to handle it. It's kind of like when you get married, you know, everybody tells you how great it is and how wonderful it is. You want that one friend that tells you how tough it is so that when the tough hits, you go, oh, that's what they were mean. That's what they talk about.
I think the hardest part of that, though, and I've never been independently wealthy. I've had times where I've had more money than I needed. Today's not one of those days. But when those days happen that you get up every morning and ride the wave, right? Like, whether it's, and especially if you have more money than you need, whatever that is, right? And say you have more than you need. I guess we all have more than we need. We're
right.
eating here today.
That's right.
We're
not scrounging for sustenance.
We have a culture of abundance.
That's true.
You know,
that's
really
absolutely
do.
True.
We really, really do. We don't appreciate that on our at our worst moment. We've got
food. More than enough.
We've got clothing. We're cool.
I was on a conference call yesterday with a woman and her daughter. And her daughter wanted to make sure she had plenty and that she had enough to live and retirement and that everything was going to be okay. I assured her she did. And the woman, the client, said to me, she said, and to her daughter, she said, I have more than enough. I am content and I have plenty enough. I have enough. And I said, no, you don't have enough. And she said, well, why don't I have enough? And I said, well, let me ask you this. Between now and the next 12 months, let's say the account goes up 20%. Would you give the gain away? Would you not take it? Would you tell them to take it back? And she said, no. I said, well, then you don't have enough. And, you know, they asked Rockefeller, how much was enough? He said, just a little bit more. Just a little bit
more.
Well,
I just think that there comes a point where if you invest it and you feel good about it,
yep.
and you just watch the 6 o'clock news or just check, but being obsessed with every nickel
is bad.
I mean, as a business owner, right? We all pay our bills. We're all kind of obsessed with our own little bubble of what do we put on the credit card this month? How much is gas? What did I buy? Did I pay for something special? We all manage our finances and our budget, but managing the curve at I was worth $2.7 million this morning. I'm worth $2.68 tonight. I'm worth $2.8 next week. Or even if it's, I've got $480,000 in the market. Now it's $502,000. And then
crazy.
I went back down to $461,000.
Crazy.
But you're doing that all day, every day, and checking in 8 times a day?
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
That's exactly right. And I've met people who have plenty and are obsessive about what they have or don't have. And I'm telling you, it's bad. It's bad. Happiness.
I can't imagine
life,
having $12 million invested with you and really caring today that it became $11,998,000.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Some people do, and we work really hard. Behavior's our job, to help people with their behavior, to say, look, when you have what you want, you can do the things you want to do. You got to put that away.
Else, right?
You got to put that away. You can't do that. And there are people that are really unhappy that have plenty, and they're scared to death they're going to run out. They're scared all the time. It's just nuts.
It's a hard way to live, man.
That is a hard way to live.
Especially when you have enough.
That's right.
When you have enough.
I grew up Dundalk. I know what it's like to not have
that's
any.
That's right.
When you have enough and you're still freaked out, you know.
Yeah, that's bad. It's really bad.
So how much of what you do is psychology?
A lot.
You've got to hold a lot of hands.
A lot. We do. And just as many, and this is crazy, just as many when things are going great as when things are going bad, because people just don't feel comfortable. I had a couple I've worked with for over 20-plus years, and the guy said to me way back in the day, he said, tell me when we're millionaires. Okay. So when their net worth topped $1 million, I let him know, and he said, tell me when I have $1 million invested. And I said, okay. So when he got to $1 million without his house and cars and things, we said, you got $1 million in your accounts now? He said, tell me when I got $5 million. And so recently he's got well over $5 million. And I said to him, you know what? You're never going to be happy. You weren't happy at $1 million. You weren't happy at $1 million of assets. You're not happy at $5 million in the investments. It's not the money. It's between these ears, man. You got to get your happiness here. And then what you have there doesn't matter. You got plenty. You raised your family. You did great. You're doing great. Get on with life.
No, I'll give you an example. Mike, I don't know much about your personal wealth, but you seem to be, you know, comfortable right now. You had a crab cake. And Leonard, you got a crab cake here. How did you feel about your personal wealth around 11 o'clock Thursday night when the Ravens were... You know, it didn't matter anymore.
I wasn't looking
right?
at it. I was just disgusted.
It didn't matter how much money we had.
I was disgusted at how few... You know what? I don't know if you saw. There was a post I saw somewhere on the internet Friday morning said, is Lamar's running sustainable?
Oh, that was me. He's giving me
No. Somebody else.
Somebody stole it.
Somebody said that it was like a thing, and then they quoted Harbaugh. They quoted him saying,
Harbaugh got off the hook
question.
Thursday night because I wasn't
question.
There to ask questions.
Right.
He won't be off the hook in Chicago next week.
He didn't answer much last night.
Well, he doesn't after we lose. But
yeah, it was a tough
well,
game.
Well, this is, you know, I get to turn to football. Mike Rosenfeld's here, our chief digital officer. We usually discuss Facebook and important things. Leonard Raskin is here from Raskin Global. No. What we got news? Breaking news?
Pretty big breaking news.
Go ahead.
What do we got?
I didn't really want to interrupt.
It's all right.
What do we got?
Things happen.
A grand jury just indicted Steve Bannon for not appearing in the honoring subpoena. That's
Friday afternoon news drop is what that
it
is.
It just
there
happened right just happened
go.
Right
well,
now.
Well, it's going to happen. It's 4:20 on a Friday afternoon.
Is that you don't think you're not surprised by that?
No, I'm not surprised. I don't think it's a big deal.
No?
I don't think it's that big a deal.
Okay, it was very interesting.
No, it's interesting, sure.
Especially from a political standpoint, which I didn't necessarily want to get into, but big. That is a pretty big news, whether we're surprised by it or not.
I want criminals to go to jail, whoever they are. So, you know, and I want our system to clean things up.
I'm with you.
And I think if you've been subpoenaed, you show up, right? I mean, United States of America, you don't just say to the court, here's my middle finger, I'm not coming, right?
Lots of people have. And they've
in the federal government.
Yeah.
Like you can't do that if you're asked to appear
if Leonard, Mike, or Ness try that.
We're going to jail.
That's
right.
Exactly right.
That's different. That's
right.
Different. We're not the political class in D.C. that doesn't show up. When they don't show up, most of the time it's irrelevant.
Which is why this is a big deal.
Big deal. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, especially after they just issued 12 more subpoenas.
Right.
Mark Meadows didn't appear today, I don't believe.
I don't know.
So
they gave Bannon 2 weeks to figure it out, so I guess they figure, I got 10 days. You know
what the
mean?
Heck? I'll take care of it.
I got jury duty on Tuesday.
Ooh,
yeah. What happens
fun.
If you don't go?
Well, I'm going to call ahead of time and try to change my date because I can't really sit all day right now. So that's probably a physical issue.
But what happens if they
just swear out a bench warrant and pick you up.
Yeah, they pick you up.
That's right.
And I live in the city. I don't want to be picked up.
No, they'll find you.
I don't want to be picked up.
And what's the consequence of that?
Or later dropped off.
For, it could have been a traffic violation or it could
that's
be
right.
this. And if you don't appear, you're screwed.
Well, it's all part of my sister.
Because we're ordinary people. Because we're ordinary people.
Right.
We're not. There's a difference between ordinary people and the political class or the Hollywood class or the wealthy class.
But you know, I think
we're football players in this case, too.
I think.
Like Aaron Rodgers. He's going to play football. Who knew?
Hey. Is he playing this weekend?
They're going to let him play. They're not going to throw him out of the league.
They're not going to throw him out of the league.
What were the consequences
not.
For lying about all
nothing?
Nothing. Right.
Nothing.
Until we have consequences, you know, and I'm not looking to be Singapore here.
Right.
But we got to have some rules.
Let's have some rules.
It's got to be consistent no matter what party
yeah,
you're
but it's
in.
Not.
I mean,
it never is.
But it should be.
It should be. I agree wholeheartedly. But the fact is, it never is.
I have to say, I listened to the entire Aaron. You brought it up, Aaron Rodgers, when he tried to cover his ass.
Right when he went
right?
on with the with
yeah.
The,
what was that about?
The punter, right?
Well, so if
well,
I may,
buddies, yeah, McAfee, your buddies. So.
If I may, I like to consider myself not a sheep and one who's willing to listen and be open minded. And I didn't buy any of the bullshit about
it. Fair enough.
About his. About the lie and because that was that. But if you're willing to listen to everything he said, he did have some very interesting points about the NFL's policy. I will just point out one. There's no excuse for what he did, but he said he goes and everyone who is not vaccinated, he goes at 5-ish in the morning to the facility. He has to go into the facility to get tested every day.
Mm-hmm.
He then has to go back into his car and wait an hour for the results to come back.
I've had to do that once. I did this when I went to Ravens practice the week of the Kansas City game. The week after that, so whatever the third week was, I went out on a Wednesday. It took me all day to get cleared and in and out, to hear Harbaugh say nothing. To have Lamar not answer any questions as a media member.
Right.
And I just said, I'm not doing that anymore.
Okay.
I've wasted one Wednesday. I work on behalf of clients. You guys know I sell for a living. I got business to do. It's a waste of my time.
So what you just did, Lamar does every day because he's
we believe
he's unvaccinated.
We assume.
Just like Aaron Rodgers.
That's right.
He goes in, he waits in his car for an hour, and then he goes in. Now, here's the thing. They know he's negative. They know he's negative. Mm-hmm. When he goes in the facility, he can't eat lunch with other people. He can't be in the room with other people.
Right.
Whereas the people who have been vaccinated, who get tested much wider,
right.
who knows if they are?
That's right.
It's a mess. It's kind of
it's
a
bizarre.
Messed up situation. So he did have some complaints that were legitimate about the rules around the NFL, which does not excuse the obnoxious nature of trying to pull the wool over everyone's eyes.
Look. I mean, politically, he and I are very different, right? So I would say this. In South Korea, when this started, the idea, and again, you have to get your mind around, they're not American. They don't think like
right.
we think.
That's right.
They are in a society that's more militaristic, like all for one, one for all. We
much
talk about
tolerant,
that shit
much
here,
more tolerant.
But we're not. And in South Korea, everyone has a phone, and they said, oh, let's all get in on this because we're all in it together. If I'm here and you're here and you have COVID today, I'll go home so your wife doesn't get it and your wife won't get it because we'll know we were together because we're contact tracing. In America, oh, you're into my freedom now. My baby girl's going to know about that. And the girl I got on the side, and I don't want anybody knowing I have this special thing or I have privacy and all. Well, then we're going to have a plague, and we're going to be wearing friggin' masks 2 years later. That was the deal with the devil that our society made to say we want privacy, independence. I'm not going to follow the rules, even though every one of us was vaccinated in 1973 to go to elementary school, right? Like, all of that that we... That's all gone now, and the belief system in America is gone. The QAnons are involved. Media's involved, doctors are involved, drug... How much is Pfizer and Moderna? How much money are they making on this?
Oh, my God.
I mean, when there's a plague, it's
fortunes.
Like... Yeah, it's like people buying Home Depot stock after the hurricane rolls through. You know what I mean? Like, it's just sitting there, and other societies manage this differently because their people were willing to buy in. What I've learned in America, and I probably learned this even the hardest way, just traveling... We're not all in. We're just not all in. And maybe the last time we'll ever be all in ever is hating on the Middle Eastern people after 9/11. Because after that, after the Bush thing, the last 20 years, you're never going to get this country to 70-80% consensus on anything, including a plague.
Yeah.
We've talked about this. I think of the Miracle on Ice. I think of all the Rocky movies, mm-hmm. you know, when it was us against them.
Whitney Houston singing a national anthem.
I remember.
Well, you want to bring people together, go to war. Go to war.
Yeah.
You know, that's... War brings this country together. I mean, I'm looking at flat... That's really... And we're at a war with each other right now. We're really at a war with the plague. I mean, we got to... There has to come a point where...
Someone needs to remind us that what is common amongst us is much more than what is not.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
That is true. And I think the problem is, and I think for the most part... knocking on wood, if you can hear
my
it or
head's
not.
Available.
Yeah.
Is that I think I'm good at this, is if there's someone who doesn't necessarily buy into or believe what I believe, is just start with, okay, well, what can we agree on? And the things you can agree
the
on.
Crab cakes are
like,
delicious.
No matter what,
great crab cakes.
No matter what side you're on, you can believe that the news is manipulative, no matter what news source you're getting it from. Can we agree on that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Can you agree that the internet, well, even though that's how I made my living, while brought a lot of good things, brought a lot of negative things there. You know, it made the world smaller, allows people to manipulate and pull our Geppetto strings and all that. Would you agree upon that? And once you agree upon that, then you can talk about the small things. And when you come to a conversation where you know that you agree on 90%, it makes the rest of the 10% a little less combative than it would have been.
Well, less significant as well.
Absolutely.
Less significant.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, God forbid there was an incident or, you know, I just watched, I watched Chernobyl, okay? If there was like an event that happened here, we would rally around. Like, you know, if
well, look at 9/11. We rallied around New York. I mean, at the beginning of the plague, we were rallying around doctors
right.
and
sure.
cheering doctors and nurses when they're coming
That's
out.
Right. That's
now we
right.
got doctors and nurses at the, you know.
Being fired for not taking a jab.
Yeah.
Also, being destroyed by families saying, I don't have COVID. I mean, if you talk to doctors about what they've incurred with COVID patients
or
non-believers,
oh, yeah.
we haven't treated our caretakers well.
No,
this.
Not at all.
Here's
not
another thing. Like when there's a hurricane that hits, you know, Mississippi, I feel the same for those people that I do when it goes up and hits you know, New England.
Yep.
I mean, the damage is the same. They need federal assistance. We all need to rally around. It's part of the country. It's just...
I'm glad you feel bad about the flood in my basement 2 weeks ago. I appreciate that.
Came over and softened it up.
Very kind of you. I appreciate that.
Did you mop it up for him?
I didn't know he had
it. He's going to officiate this.
I'm the last guy to call to help for mopping up. I would have been busy.
It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We're at Nick's Grandstand Grill. We're on your side of town. I mean, your business is up this
Absolutely, right in Hunt Valley. We're right up here in Hunt Valley.
Tell me what you do, because you manage money and you manage internet, chief digital officer, financial advisor, friends of our longtime friends. It's embarrassing that I haven't had you to my home. It's embarrassing we haven't been to a game together late. We haven't been in. I Zoom with you all.
It's all the
first
time
we've been in a room together.
Yeah, for quite a couple of years.
Been to your home once.
Recently, a couple months ago?
No, a long time ago. Still wearing masks, you know.
Have you and I not been in a room together this year?
No, this year, no. Maybe once.
God, this is a weird place.
It's crazy.
Weird? I see both of you so often, I can't believe that we're in the same room.
Haven't pressed flesh,
well,
right?
Let me tell you something, as I was thinking the whole day here this afternoon, what a great service this is. Not only are you creating content, but just to be... instead of just being me and you, which there's nothing wrong with that, you know, sitting with you and reflecting back to the way things used to be is really
2019 really seems like a whole other world.
Really,
it's
welcoming.
Also where things are. I mean, we're at Nick's. This is a beautiful place. It's a place we've all driven. You've driven by it 1,000 times and know where
God.
It is.
Absolutely.
Right? We're at the racetrack in Timonium, and we're trying to really spotlight local businesses. You know, the kind of people you do business with, He walks in. He knows Tommy. He built a website for Tommy 20 years ago. I didn't know they knew each other. This is
Smaltimore.
Smaltimore.
Exactly. There we go.
So you manage money. Tell everybody how to find you so you can get back to your friends.
Good.
Get to the proper sushi up there.
No problem. You can find us at RaskinGlobal.com. You can find us at info@RaskinGlobal. If you want to ask us a question, we're happy to answer your financial questions. We do everything money. Individuals, small business, mid-sized businesses. We handle everything from budgeting to your estate plans. Working with some clients this afternoon looking to sell a business. We had the seller in the room. We had the buyer in the room. We had the accountant in the room. We had the attorney in the room. Everybody's in the negotiations. We had a great time. Some great stories. Came to a good resolution for the business. So everybody walks out happy. That doesn't happen in the first meeting, but it happens after a few meetings and things go well.
So we're celebrating it.
It happened today, and we're having crab cakes and lemonade, and it's magnificent. Like I said, never been here, but we're right up the road. Didn't know it was here. Been to the fairgrounds. I'll tell you what, I got my jab here at the fairgrounds.
There you go.
And when I came to get the jab here, it was a military operation, man. It was like a combination of military and Disney. Got out of my car, and it was the herd of masses walking towards the Cow Palace. They guided you in. They had ropes that you had to go through, and I felt just like I was getting a Disneyland ride. And when you got to the end of the rope, all of a sudden another room opened up, and it was a whole other group of...
They give you a lollipop or anything special?
No, nothing special. Just a jab, and then you had to go sit in a chair for 15 minutes and wait to be
excused. They don't do that anymore. It's like, get out of here.
Oh, really? They make you wait?
I went into the dimly lit convention center hall for...
There you go.
So a clarifying question, because I'm sure people would like to know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there a sweet spot or a minimum that makes sense for you? Just, you know, sometimes it's good to have that out there to make sure.
Great question. We do not have a minimum. We work with people across the board, people that come to us that are just starting out. Our youngest client, 22 years old, starting out right out of college, starting their first job and trying to figure out where to put a buck and what to do. And we work, our oldest client is probably 88, 89 years old. We work with 3-4 generations of their family and handle their wealth for them. Actually, our youngest client is about a year and a half old. It's a daughter of a third generation client. They're actually fourth generation, and great grandpa set up an account for the 1.5 year old, but they don't know us.
Right.
But yeah, no minimums. We work with people that have money, care about their families, need help. That's what we're here to do.
Right.
Always giving me good advice, man. It's been great. Leonard Raskin here, Raskin Global. Good cheer to your wife. Let's get your son home for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I'm going to be talking a lot about pie and pumpkin pie. I started craving apple pie earlier. So crab cake tour, crab cake beer. You get me out, eat me French fries. I start thinking about food, you know?
I hear you.
It's good stuff.
Tell me what you do, Mike. You're my guy.
Sure. Well, as you said, 20-some years ago, I did Tommy's first website for seafoodfresh2you.com. my firm web connection has pivoted. Pretty much 95% of our business now is providing outsourced chief digital officer services. I'll use you as an example.
I am an example.
You know that you don't have anyone in your organization that truly understands the power of their website, their social media, their online marketing, their email marketing.
And when your website crashes at 8:30 on Wednesday, you call Mike, which is what I did.
And exactly.
And you know that maybe you have someone in marketing, or you maybe give it to an intern, and you know in your gut as a business owner that we're not killing it the way we should be because we don't understand, but you can't hire a full-time chief digital officer. That's what my firm does. We are an affordable, fractional, outsourced chief digital officer. We bring that knowledge to our clients.
And crab cakes to me.
Did that make sense? Because we've never met.
Made great sense. Perfect. Absolutely. Look, as a business owner, I got one of you.
Yeah, good.
You have to have.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know the first thing about how to run our website. We had a crash in our server. The guy had to come out and fix some stuff. He fixed stuff. And then I go to send an email, and my signature, you know, that's what it's called, I guess. The signature on the email, my name and phone number, it's gone.
Right.
Like, where'd it go? So we can restore that.
Computer ate it.
Let's restore that because I need that on there because the law says when I send an email, it's got to say certain things. So they put these things on it. As a matter of fact, you'll see, I'll send you a new email. I just got an award. I didn't mention this, so we'll have to tell you a quick award.
Award-winning.
What? Award-winning for the footer, or are you?
Yeah, right. No, award-winning
in general.
Practice. So I just added a new piece to our signature line.
As you should.
I was just chosen nationally for Forbes as one of the top 200 protection wealth advisors in the nation. There were 30,000 people nominated. They chose 200. I was in the top 200.
That's significant.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Absolutely. Thanks. And we just got that notification in the last probably week or so and threw that up on the banner and on the website.
I'm going to have to add that to the ad.
Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal. We just got that call. It was rigorous, man. They asked me everything about the financials of the practice, kind of clients we serve. Then they called and we did an hour-plus interview with Forbes and their research team, asking me all kinds of questions about what we do, how we do. They wanted to make sure that we're not just all about the market. As we said, we do insurance, we do estate planning, we make sure people's wealth doesn't get lost. And risk management, we talked about the last show we were on.
We talked about that with Lamar.
With Lamar and the risk that you know the Ravens take.
The risk he's taking.
Yeah, well, I think
the Ravens
said,
will wake up rich next year.
Right.
Lamar will only wake up rich if he takes the money.
That's right, but we talked about it, and I think on the Thursday night game, somebody mentioned, I don't remember if it was Troy or... what's his name there?
Joe Buck.
They talked about, you know, what kind of the bargain Lamar is. He's playing this year, they said, for $3 million. And I said, well, there you go. You know, think about what I just saw this week. Some lineman, Cleveland, $50 million, five-year
Joel
deal
Petonia,
or something.
Yes.
What'd he get? 50 for five, right?
Right.
Lamar's playing for three. I mean, come on. So we were talking about insuring that. And that's one of the things we do is we make sure our clients are protected. That if something happens, things don't happen. And that's what we got this for being a advisor that looks out for our clients' protection and make sure that everything's just so.
Can you ensure the Ravens game from Thursday night that they get the win back? Or
no.
Can you ensure that I forget that it even happened?
I think we can find a way to do that.
I can ensure that you can get good pizza in Chicago on Saturday because I'm going.
I think if you drink a few more beers, you might forget Thursday night's game.
All right.
Letter Raskin, Raskin Global, our friend, and Mike Rosenfeld, two of my dudes, man, two of my internal people here together. We're like sitting together, drinking beer, lemonade in your case,
you
eating
go.
Crab cakes. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. I would grab my drink, but I'm so paranoid about knocking everything over. I've already had half of a beer. We're going to be on Wednesday with our mayor, Brandon Scott, at Coco's. We're also going to be joined by Senator Corey McCray. My good buddy, Mike Versigliano, a sports cartoonist, is going to join us as well. We're in his neighborhood. So when I come to your neighborhood, you have to come out. That's part of the deal. We're going to be in Abingdon on Black Friday at Conrad's. We're going to be back in your neighborhood in Cockeysville at Pappas on the 3rd of December. Also in Catonsville at the Beaumont on the 9th, kicking off the 30th anniversary of what I've been doing. It looks like I haven't cut my hair in 30 years.
There you go.
Absolutely.
There you go.
All right. Good travel, good cheer. We're off to Chicago. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Make sure you're checking out everything we're doing. Don and I are getting together with lots of folks talking about the opening of Colgate Elementary School this week. We've had incredible guests. Tharu Vignaraja joined us. Ben Jealous joined us down at Fadley's. And we have more guests ahead. Tom McMillan, I think, is coming to our event at the Chaucer on the 9th. So it's going to be fun. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.